WBSM presents Brian's Beat with Brian Thomas. Streaming live on WBSM.com and the WBSM app. Call 508-996-0500. Send us app chat messages and open line voicemails using the WBSM app. Now, Brian Thomas.
Yeah, it doesn't get any better than this. Christmas Eve, 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 Eve. Yeah, we're getting down to six Eves now. The Friday before Christmas went all through the studio. I'm the only mouse running around here. How you doing? Welcome to Brian's Beat, the original show born at the apex of freedom, entrepreneurship, and nomadism. And on this Christmas Eve, 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 it is International Migrants Day. Now, you may have heard that yesterday. It's because I screwed up. It's really today. That's International Migrants Day. Or maybe it was yesterday and I had it right and I screwed up today. Either way, how about this one? 16-06. The ship's Susan Content, Godspeed, and Discovery leave England with settlers who founded Jamestown, Virginia, the first of our 13 colonies that eventually became the United States of America. On this date in 1974, putting a Band-Aid, so to speak, on all that was Watergate, President Ford appoints Nelson Rockefeller to be the vice president. Now, that's because Ford had been vice president when Nixon dearly departed. Ford took over as president. He got the name of vice president, Nelson Rockefeller. Throwing a lot of billions into the, I guess, not the White House, but that other building. And I'm sure he had plenty of visits to the White House. 1998, President Clinton impeached by the House of Representatives. And boy, it went back and forth. Yeah, he lied under oath, but it was about having an intimate encounter with somebody else. Is that something we really want to impeach a president on? Oh, no, it wasn't about that. It was because he lied under oath. Either way, I think members of the House of Representatives, when they get that opportunity, they've got the pitchfork out. They're going for it because they know that the other house, the Senate in this particular case, they know that there's going to be a trial. There's no way that there's going to be a 2/3 majority in order to really oust the person. Different under the 1970s era with Richard Nixon. But they weren't going to get Bill Clinton any more than Jamie Raskin and the Democrats were going to get Donald Trump. They do. Oh, we got to look good. There's going to be an election coming up soon. So that's what they do. Which leads to the Brian's Beat quote of the day. There is not a doubt in my mind that the people of America are hunkered down. They are afraid. There is not a doubt in my mind that the people of America are hunkered down. They are afraid. Former Texas Governor Ann Richards with that quote. Let's start with a couple of local things because I know that there are other things going on, but I kind of want to get this out there. If at all you listen to Mike Roberts do his update, there was a story that I kind of knew about only because I had spoken to a few people. I did not ask woman friend because she went there today, and I'm not sure, maybe the policy hasn't started or not. What am I talking about? You know, Brown took over Hawthorne and a few other medical institutions that were under the helm of that former company that we're all glad is finally out of here. However, Brown is bringing back mandatory mask at Hawthorne and some of the local Brown medical establishments. I guess it's starting next week. It may have already started. But apparently there's a worry between COVID, a couple of other respiratory things that are going on. And so if you are a visitor, if you are a supplier of medical stuff, if you are a patient, if you are an employee, doctor, nurse, physician assistant, medical assistant, janitor in a drum, whatever the case, everybody is going to have to mask up at least for a little bit. Now, did you ever think that we would be going down this particular road again? That's a medical institution. It's not mandatory masks throughout the Commonwealth, not or the nation for that matter. But it makes me think, do I really want to go to Hawthorne? I am a regular at Hawthorne, regular by, let's say, 6-7 times a year for mandatory appointments and then other specialist type. I probably have more than that. And I don't like the idea of masking up any more than the next person, but I have to admit, I am seeing more and more people Stop and Shop, Shaw's. I am seeing more people wearing masks right now. And the conversation has always been, well, the masks don't work. I think the jury is still out on that right there. I'm not going to sit here and say they do, they don't. I can't say that it didn't work for me. I understand the repercussions of wearing one too often. You're breathing in your own air. Yeah, I get that. But if I've got a jacket, whatever jacket I have has a mask in it. Not so much for my own comfort, but for other folks. If they are more relaxed, and whether I'm doing business, social, whatever the case may be, I've got one with me. I don't always put it on. But if I'm asked, I've got it. If I know somebody is in a situation, I'm definitely going to put it on for that person's protection and just for that person to feel better. I've got no problem with that. 508-996-0500. That's how you get onto the program. Another local one that I want to get into. This is basically for Dartmouth residents, but I bring it up to you and also state, just because I'm talking about Dartmouth in this particular case, doesn't mean it's not going to happen in New Bedford, Fall River, Fairhaven, any of the towns, cities where you pay for water use. Now, if you've got a well, all the power to you. If something goes wrong with the well, that's when you pay. If you run out of water, you're stuck. But in Dartmouth, and I guess I should say, what do you expect from government? Although I have to admit, I was at the meeting, the fall town meeting, when town meeting voted to appropriate X amount of dollars from one water account into another water account. Of course, it wasn't enough money. And the crux of all of this is that water bills are going up maybe 13%. 13%. So if you get a monthly water bill, a lot of people get quarterly water bills, but if you get a monthly water bill, that 13% on average is going to be about $14 a month. Do that out quarterly, you're looking at $42 a month. Again, it's not going to break a bank, except for the town's bank account that needs to raise up the water bills so they can cover their shortfall. Now, of course, you get the reasons why this is happening. Well, we have to shut down some wells. You know, the Dartmouth has town wells. Going to have to shut some of those down. Here's another reason. The town of Dartmouth pays a lot of money to New Bedford to get New Bedford water. I think I saw somewhere around $500,000. Let me take a peek. What did it say? Where are the glasses? Okay, here we go. Let's see. Dartmouth went from paying $512,000 and change to New Bedford for water to $2.2 million in 2025. It's a lot of money. And I guess I would say if people have to keep on relying. See, this is one of the reasons why I choose properties, you know, to live in where I've got my own well and my own septic system. Now, is it going to cost me, you know, if I use the Fairhaven Honey Bunny thing to dump out the septic, it's probably going to cost me $150. But I do that once every 18 months, 16 months. So that's not bad. If you divide 150 by 18, you're not paying that much. Conversely, if you look at a sewer bill separate from the water bill, you're paying as much, if not more. And usually it keeps going up. The honey bunny wagon in, you know, Fairhaven company there that's pumping out your septic, I haven't seen a rate increase at knock on wood, in the whole time that I had a septic with them. Not with them, but I used them, contracted with them. That's a pretty good deal. If you have your own well, isn't that funny? I remember one time our well broke down in Dartmouth and it cost $1,600 to get it fixed. But I think that was year 6 of living in that house. And so if you add up 72 months where we didn't pay, I think we made out. And of course, with the new pump, you know, whomever's got that house right now, they're doing pretty well. So again, not that a lot of people are going to try to pack up their bags and move somewhere else, but I do want you to be aware that water and sewer bills, along with home heating bills, along with the electric bills, are going to keep going up and up and up. Eversource, you know, in our backyard, Eversource makes out like a bandit. 508-996-0500. Okay. I'm not blaming the president in this particular case. U.S. military has been attacking ISIS strongholds in Syria. Now, this is an apparent retaliation for ISIS killing two of our soldiers last week. And so, you know, as they say, that eye for an eye, you're not going to let ISIS just go out and pluck away our people any more than we would expect another side to not do anything if we did something to their people. But I do want you to know it's more than rhetoric now. ISIS, in this particular case, ISIS. I thought we were friends with ISIS. Didn't we help to install an ISIS / Al-Qaeda person to be the leader of Syria? Somebody that was an enemy not too long ago. I wonder, how do we ever keep friends when we being our government, acts so irresponsibly? And I think of the Mujahideen. We used to back them when they were going up against the Soviets. But when the Soviet Union decided to pull out of Afghanistan, well, there's no reason. Look, and I get this part. There's no reason to keep funding a military operation that isn't still operating. But something else happened there that I have no reason to think otherwise, but I get the feeling that the United States reneged on something because Osama bin Laden turned around and he got money from elsewhere. And then that led to 3 different attacks on the World Trade Center. We know what happened on 9/11. I mean, you don't just go around blowing up buildings, especially the same building, 3 different times. So it makes me wonder, you know, what happened to the point? And please don't tell me, oh, they hate us. There's got to be a reason why they hate us to the point of blowing up a building. I mean, people hate each other all the time. They don't go around blowing up buildings because of it. So I really, you know, sometimes we just have to get down to the brass tacks of exactly what's going on. Speaking of going on, lots has changed in this whole dynamic between MIT, Brown University, who the bad guy. And it looks like it was one person. The update, if you haven't heard, is that this guy, Neves Valente, committed suicide. I think you knew that part. But apparently he committed the suicide on Tuesday. He was found Thursday evening. But apparently, according to the autopsy, he knocked himself off on Tuesday in that storage locker. And I guess nobody else went into that section of the storage facility. Nobody saw any little dribbles of blood or anything like that. And more there is a connection with this guy, Neves Valente. Apparently, he went to school with the professor at MIT. He was a student, graduate type student for 1 year at Brown. He wasn't Middle Eastern. I think that probably shocked everybody. He wasn't Middle Eastern. I didn't think one way or the other. I don't like going down that particular hole because I've been accused of things that I didn't do. And I've accused people of doing things that they didn't do. And so when you've got a bunch of yahoos out there saying, well, I heard it was somebody that was Middle Eastern. And then next thing you know, related to Hamas, Palestinians, ISIS. And it just goes around it. And people hear one thing, they repeat it and tell it to another person. And look what happens. Look what happens. So it's a terrible tragedy, no matter how you look at it. I don't know what to really think about the fact that it was a Portuguese person, Portuguese national, to the person that brought up difference between citizenship and national. National because he was born in Portugal. And he may still be, or may have still been, a Portuguese citizen. He had a green card to be here in the United States. He came here as a student, and apparently he got one of those lottery visas. And the president of the United States and his administration has now stopped those lottery visas. So what's your thought on that? Lottery visas, people still have to go through all of the hoops and hurdles in order to get that residency. Do we stop them? Would you stop them? What would you tell the president? Good idea. Stop them. We're going to check everybody, even though we checked everybody already. All right. I can actually say, in this particular case, let's not stop them, but we double check everybody to make sure that they pass all of the yeses and nos. Now, according, the reason why I'm bringing this up, I was going to save some of this for tomorrow, but I think it's important to maybe get it out now. According to the New York Times reporting, an internal guidance was issued this week to U.S. citizenship and immigration offices around the country. And basically, what it asked the field offices to do is to figure out some way to come up with 100 to 200 denaturalization cases per month during the next fiscal year. So in other words, this administration is now going full throttle after people who are naturalized citizens to try to get that citizenship taken away from them. Now, here's the story. And I'm curious because my guess is this is going to climb up to the U.S. Supreme Court. Because the president doesn't have the authorization to do this. I mean, he can executive order stuff, but that doesn't make it a law. Now, it is my understanding, talking to legal experts, that we do indeed denaturalize people that are citizens. Not folks that were born here, but folks that became a citizen after coming here from another country. But the process is tight. It's very narrow. Because in order to denaturalize a citizen, ICE can't just say, hey, we're going to do this. Homeland Security can't say, we're going to do this. They can present a case to the U.S. Attorney's Office. the U.S. attorney has to prove that the naturalized citizen basically lied on their citizenship application and lied in such a way as to be meaningful to the outcome of that citizenship. So basically, they have to commit fraud. You have to commit fraud, and if you're found guilty of committing fraud, then you could lose your citizenship. I think we have 15 to 25 cases like that a month, or maybe yearly. Not too many. And if you think about it in terms of what the president of the United States, his administration, is asking for, 100 to 200 per field office per month. I don't want to say that's impossible, because quite frankly, nothing is really impossible. But you're talking about a very tough hill to climb and a very slippery slope. So the president has decided, his administration, because quite frankly, I don't think the president of the United States is genius enough to figure out this stuff. Not making fun of his brain as much as I don't think most presidents could really think of this stuff. This is why you hire good people. In June, the president's administration expanded the list of reasons they could require citizenship to be revoked. One is, and again, you might say, well, that makes sense. Why didn't they do that before? Here's number one. If you have gang affiliations or you're part of a cartel, the slippery slope being you might wear colors, but you're not part of a gang. Didn't we just see that with the Venezuelans? People were, it's gang insignia and stuff like that. Well, turns out that a couple of people had that type of insignia, but they weren't part of any gang. Cartels, I'll sit here and say, look, if these people are part of a cartel, like the drug running, the people running cartels, and you catch them doing something, they got to do time for their crime. I'm not going to say take their citizenship away. Same thing with gang association. Because down the road, you're going to have U.S. gang members, U.S. cartel members, born and raised. Are we going to say, well, we did it with denaturalization, now let's do this with people that are born here? And here's another one, human trafficking. I brought that one up already. Here is one that is really perplexing, because almost anyone could get caught up in this one. You have committed some type of financial fraud against a government, against an entity, or against the people. Financial fraud. Bernie Madoff, that was financial fraud. But my guess is it doesn't have to be anything near as large as what Bernie Madoff did. Speaking of financial fraud, and I know this really isn't what some people might consider a fraud, but I want to play this because seemingly lost in the weeds is the fact that the president of the United States is boldly boasting about how much money he is getting from financial contributors. I like to take you back to 2015 when he first announced that he was running for president. I wasn't a fan then. I'm not a fan now. I openly admit that, and you know it. But of some of the things that I liked about Donald Trump, this was one of them. He wasn't going to take financial contributions. In fact, he threw his own money into the race. Remember that back in 2015, 2016, and then people could make small contributions. Then he became president, and people paid to go to particular functions. But now, he is blatant. He is wide open about, look, you got the right dollar amount. You can come to Mar-a-Lago. You can come to the White House. You can come to these prissy dinners that they have. It's sad. It's sad, you know, if I am a Trump supporter, and in particular a Trump supporter because of what he was saying, you know, make America great again, drain the swamp, that kind of stuff. You look around now, and he is creating swamps. And I'll leave it to you to decide if he's really making America great again. But yesterday, the guy that is going to come on after me in a statement declared that Donald Trump was the first Jewish president? Really? But to take it to another step, another level, this was the president. I think this is the, I want to make sure I've got the right one. This was our president yesterday.
Miriam gave my campaign indirectly and directly $250 million. She was number one.
Miriam Adelson, A-D-E-L-S-O-N, depending on how you want to pronounce it. $250 million. What was Elon Musk? 100? These people are buying influence. Please do not get me wrong. I know the same thing happens in Congress. I know the same thing happens in local government and in state government. I get that. But you really don't hear the governor, a mayor, a state rep, state senator, even our congresspeople. They don't boast about who's giving them money. And basically, you not only let you and me know, but the whole world. Basically, and this isn't anything new, our government is for sale. If you got money to bid, $250 million, you can have what you need. What did Miriam want? Well, we'll get into that in just a bit.
Miriam gave my campaign indirectly and directly $250 million. She was number one. When somebody can give you $250 million, I think that we should give her the opportunity to say hello.
Now, I met Alan Dershowitz, and he said the legal thing about 4 more years. And I say, Alan, I agree with you. So we can do it. Think about it.
Alan's here someplace. Where's Alan?
Alan is here. Oh, he had a flight.
11 months ago, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it.
We are coming to get our checks.
This is WBSM.
Here's what's happening this week on Town Square Sunday. As the year wraps up, Jack Spillane from the New Bedford Light will offer some thoughts on New Bedford city government and reflect on some of the major news stories of the year. And Stan Levine and Maria Connor will be inviting everyone to a free Christmas dinner. They're carrying on a tradition that began more than 50 years ago. I'm Jim Phillips. Join me for Town Square Sunday, Sunday morning at 6 and 11 on 1420 WBSM and 99.5 FM.
Traveling for business or pleasure? Instead of booking online, first call Low Cost Air at 800-221-6085. With Low Cost Air, booking is your option, which means there's no obligation to purchase anything at all. Call Low Cost Air to compare. 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air, 800-221-6085. Low Cost Air is proud to sponsor Brian's Beat on the radio and online.
Call 508-996-0500. Back to Brian's Beat.
Months ago, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it.
The question is he fixing it? Now, that's the man who stated, what, a little over a week ago, that the U.S. economy is A++++++. Do you agree that the economy is A plus five pluses? No, I don't either. Well, I guess there's a different way of looking at it. And during the first term, many people, during Trump's first term, many people were talking about, well, the economy is better. Yeah, the economy was better in a certain respect. People were feeling more comfortable. They were charging. They were using their plastic. They were making more money, but the cost of goods were still more expensive. And that same thing matriculated into the Biden administration. And don't forget, we had that year plus experience where we had that crisis called pandemic. And then the Biden economy went up for a little bit, then it came down, and it kept on going down. Gas prices kept on going up. Food prices kept on going up. Well, here we are, 11 months into, well, pretty close to 11 months, in a couple of days, it will be 11 months into the first year of Donald Trump's second term. And what is he doing? He is still blaming Joe Biden. He's still blaming the previous president. I want to take you back to 2021. We're about 11 months into Joe Biden's first term. He tried blaming the Trump economy. And people didn't buy that. They were saying at that time, Joe, it just isn't going well. And he had to own up to it. This president's a little bit different. When it comes to owning up to things, it's a little difficult for him. But we remember. And if we don't remember, we have audio from Liberation Day. Most of us remember Liberation Day and how things went. What was the President of the United States saying on that day?
When I took office, inflation was the worst in 48 years, and some would say in the history of our country, which caused prices to be higher than ever before, making life unaffordable for millions and millions of Americans.
And so that was Liberation Day. People are complaining today that that same misery that he was talking about when he made that speech, I believe that was the beginning of April. People are still in financial misery. Now, Donald Trump and his family, they might not be in a financial pinch right now. And Ms. Adelman, whatever, she's pledging that she'll give another $250 million if Donald Trump runs for a third term. You've got Alan Dershowitz, who's questioning the constitutionality of Trump not being able to run for a third term. Alan Dershowitz. See, Dershowitz, Trump, Epstein, no, I'm not going to go down that road. No, that's... One has nothing to do with the other. They, Epstein, he was a man who was a financier, though. Oh, I don't know. 508-996-0500. But one thing is for sure. Donald Trump pledged on Liberation Day. It was his economy. He was taking the bull by the horns. And things were going to get better and better, gooder and gooder.
April 2nd, 2025 will forever be remembered as the day American industry was reborn, the day America's destiny was reclaimed, and the day that we began to make America wealthy again.
Are you feeling wealthy? Are you feeling wealthy? He made that claim at the beginning of April, and it's now mid-December. And I'd give him the benefit of a doubt if he wasn't out there boasting that things are better when people are sitting back saying, it ain't better. 508-996-0500. Thank you. Hello.
Happy Friday.
It is. It's always a happy Friday.
Okay. So I just wanted to make sure I called you and haven't talked to you in a minute.
Sounds like you're at the kitchen sink or maybe the bathroom sink.
No, the kitchen sink.
Brushing your teeth in the toilet.
Oh, my goodness. I'm transferring some ketchup into another bottle for a friend. They have no ketchup.
I need to know that.
And they're making french fries, so my hand got a little ketchup on it. So
okay.
That's what you heard, me rinsing my hands off ketchup. But yeah, I haven't talked to you for a bit, and I just wanted to say...
I just figured you hated me.
Oh, no, you know, nobody hates you, Brian. We love you.
Yeah.
No, we do.
That's why, never mind.
Yeah. So anyways...
Yes.
I just caught the tail end because I ran from their apartment into mine, a few buildings.
What would you like to know?
So I just caught you as I came in. What are you upset about?
Yesterday, there are many things. I'm going to let you listen to this, and I want your thoughts. President of the United States boasting about getting a whole bunch of money and what the person who is giving the money would like to see happen.
Miriam gave my campaign, indirectly and directly, $250 million. She was number one. When somebody can give you $250 million, I think that we should give her the opportunity to say hello.
Now I met Alan Dershowitz, and he said the legal thing about 4 more years. And I said, Alan, I agree with you. So we can do it. Think about it.
Alan's here someplace. Where's Alan?
Alan is here. Oh, he had a flight.
4 more years. People chanting 4 more years for Donald Trump.
So they're happy for her. The people seem happy about the connection. I wouldn't really put so much stock into it, honestly, right now, Brian.
Into what?
Into any of this. Don't take so much stock into it. It's
$250 million. She's buying influence.
That's huge money. But like I say, why don't you just wait? Just wait.
We've already watched what her influence has done. This isn't the first time that she's bought influence.
I'm just saying, let's just wait a little bit more. I mean,
So in other words, it's okay to give the money. $250 million.
That's a lot of money, but guess what? That'll cover Donald Trump's $350 million ballroom.
or maybe more favors in the Middle East.
Well, you know what? Come on now, let's not act so naive, Brian. There's always a pro quid pro. Always.
Yes, there is.
So let's not. So you know what? If that's the case, that's the case. Because guess what? This has been going on since the beginning of time. Good Lord.
So is that what you want? And you're I'm not arguing that it's just
now?
Another. This is the guy that was going to drain the swamp. This is the guy that wasn't going to take any political contributions. All of a sudden, the people that...
He's not running again, and he is not taking political messages.
Well, how do we know he's not running again? According to Alan Dershowitz, he might be able to run again.
Well, if he starts a war, a president cannot leave the White House. This is what I've been taught and told. A president cannot leave the White House, their command, if there is, in fact, the middle of the beginning of a war. Another president cannot come in and take over. That's the only thing I guess.
I don't think you've got that correct, because in our lifetime, we saw Johnson take over. Nixon take over after Johnson.
But that was different. Not like a war of this many. No, you know it. This is why I didn't really want to talk.
All right, I'm going to have to let you go only because I got to let me go. But thank you. I do appreciate the call.
11 months ago, I inherited a mess, and I'm fixing it.
WBSM.
Your light sure tastes great.
Less filling, tastes great. Less filling.
Back to Brian's Beat.
This is one of the most important days, in my opinion, in American history. It's our Declaration of Economic Independence. For years, hardworking American citizens were forced to sit on the sidelines as other nations got rich and powerful, much of it at our expense. But now it's our turn to prosper, and in so doing, use trillions and trillions of dollars to reduce our taxes and pay down our national debt, and it'll all happen very quickly.
Well, at least active military duty folks are going to get paid $1,776, maybe, depending on what the Supreme Court does about tariffs. Time for me to pack up the bags and get out of here. Paul will be in at 7 o'clock. I will be back at 1 tomorrow afternoon. 45 in Fairhaven, 45.